Gotcha. Well, thank you for having me. My residency was right here. Thank you again for approving my proposal to have the show here. But so my name is Alicia Cunningham, and I'm a photographer. I'm an author as well, so that's my book, Feminine Transitions. The portraits here are from the book, and I'm a newbie filmmaker, so I'm working on my first documentary film. And if I don't answer anything that you would have questions to, just feel free to ask me at the end or even in between, I don't mind. I originally came up with the idea of Feminine Transitions several years ago. This was around 2009. So I often wake up with thoughts or ideas. So, and I started to sleep with a notebook beside my bed because I would get up in the wee hours of the morning. I'm a night owl. That's where I usually do my work. And I just put a book beside my bed to write, jot down any notes. And then I wanted to create something. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But I wanted to create a photography book. I just wasn't sure what it would be. And I'm kind of like, I thought about you when you said the Mad Duchess. I'm kind of like the same way, because there was a point where photographers were doing, everything was Photoshopped. And it drove me crazy because I was like, I'm not gonna jump on the bandwagon. And there was one day I had gone to a portfolio review of a well-known photographer in D.C., and she looked at, I often do pregnancy portraits, and I don't do any Photoshopping. That's just not something I'm really into. It's like, this is who you are. Just, you know, take it or leave it. And so I had a picture of a pregnant woman who was pregnant with twins, and so you can see her visible stretch marks, because that's usually what happens when you're pregnant. You naturally have stretch marks. And the photographer looked at my pictures and said, well, you know, your work is beautiful, but you should never take a picture of a pregnant woman and show her stretch marks. And you should always Photoshop that out. So I was like, so then I kind of laughed a little bit, and I was like, well then, and then other photographers were agreeing with her. And I was like, so then what's the point of, you know, when you're pregnant, there's a process that you go through. You go through changes in your body, just like when you age, you go through changes. So I'm not Photoshopping it out. So I think in a way of me, I took that frustration from that one comment and I put it into something which was Feminine Transitions. I also got fed up of seeing the term anti-aging. And I got tired of seeing everything was filters. So everything is airbrushed, Photoshop, the whole magazine thing. And I was like, you know, I have children, and I also consider other children that may be looking at the work of when they open a magazine and thinking that this is real. And so I was like, well, you know, I'm gonna do something that'll be different from the norm, what you see. So that's how I ended up coming up with the idea, Feminine Transitions. And what I did was, I sketched it out. I sketched out what I thought the pictures would look like, or the portraits. And I always knew it would be a close-up, portraits of women at different ages. And I'm kind of like, well, how am I going to do this now? Because, you know, how am I going to get all these women that I don't even know at different ages to participate in this project that I haven't even started as yet? So I started to post it on social media, and I started telling friends, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking for women. I met women at grocery stores, wherever I went. This is what I'm working on, and I would give them a card. No one that I met in the grocery store or anything else called me. But but the funny thing is that the people who did call me were people who knew me from someone else. Or if it was social media, it was like they did connect with me through somebody else. So that's all the women here and in the book are. They knew me. The older women I actually met, I didn't know, you know, a lot of older women, but I went to a few senior homes. And so the senior homes, I spoke with the directors, and the director said, well, you know, she's working on this. So I actually set my equipment up on a scheduled date, and they all came down and took pictures. And the first time when I didn't really have any specifics, it was just I knew that it was going to be portraits of women, and they couldn't wear any accessories. And there was one woman who sat in front of the camera, and actually that was Miss Yvonne. So Miss Yvonne is 70. She's the one with all the gray hair on the right-hand side. Miss Yvonne is actually, she has passed since then, but she was Miss Senior DC for several years. So she, when she sat down, she had makeup, and I was like, you know, something's not really feeling, something's not really sitting, you know, it's not really looking right to me. So I told her, you know, I was like, well, because before her, it was all the younger women. So she was kind of like everyone. There was different ages in between. It wasn't by age. So I told her, "Do you mind taking your makeup off? Because I would like to do something. I think I'd rather just have you just in your natural state." And then so when she said that, she was like, "Oh no, I'm not doing anything without makeup on. I never take pictures without makeup." And she's like, I'm not going to do it. But then there was another woman who was there beside her, who was actually Miss Catherine. So she's a 77-year-old. And she told her, you know, like, we're all here together. We'll all do it. So they all, it was so nice. And I wish I would have had a camera that day to take the video of them all wiping their makeup off. So, and if you look at her picture, you can still see that she wiped it off. You can still see, like, there's a little bit, like, of a pink rose on her. But it was from that idea, from seeing her behind the camera, when I decided I don't want to do, so no makeup, no accessories. It just had to be you and the camera. That's it. So some women, that one requirement, they said they weren't going to take the picture because they've never done it before. This was actually Miss Yvonne's first time taking a picture without makeup. And she had called me, which made it all worthwhile for me, and told me that she had showed it to her family members, and everyone loved her picture, and she never realized how beautiful she was, being natural. And since then, every time I did see her, because she would come to a few shows, I do speaking engagements, I never saw her makeup on. And so I'm not against it. It's just I think that we have kind of fallen for the whole propaganda with the media and assuming that we need to look a certain way in order for us to be beautiful. So I just think that if you wear it, in my own personal opinion, it's just because you wear it because you just want to, you just feel like wearing it. It's not that you feel like you need to walk out the house without with makeup on. The same goes for any accessories, weaves or nails, anything. I think that we should learn to love and appreciate ourselves as who we are. So through this, Feminine Transitions has opened up opportunities for me to do speaking engagements. So I often go and speak to schools. I speak to students. Girls, women's studies often in schools. And it's surprising to me that, and maybe parents don't know, but parents don't have a conversation with their children. Because when I showed the kids the before and after Photoshop, so I was like, oh, this is in Vogue magazine, or this is Beyonce, which really looks like, and this is Photoshop, that they were surprised. They didn't realize that when they open a magazine or they look at a billboard, that it's a fake picture. This is not, you know, this is Photoshop. So it has allowed me the opportunity to go and speak with the youth and tell them that, and even with women of all ages, to say that this is not really what we look like and that we should not feel the pressure or the need to try to fit a certain look that doesn't exist. Because, you know, when you open a magazine, unfortunately, what you see is not real. So this is in tribute to just to women in our natural state and our natural beauty. And just loving and appreciating, you know, who we are. Yeah, and that's kind of like it in a nutshell.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yep.
So the documentary you're working on,
yes.
What's the focus of that?
So I'm working on the documentary. So it's a documentary and a coffee table book, actually. And it's titled, I'm Losing My Hair. So it's the stories of girls and women who've lost their hair for medical conditions. And I came out with that because in 2013, actually, when I was doing my book launch party for this book, I decided to cut my headlocks at that time. My locks was, you know, past my waist. And I decided to cut my locks because there was a cancer organization. I was looking for people to do a big chop, which is you cut your hair and the proceeds go towards the organization. This particular organization was raising money for, it's called Zuri Works, but they were raising money for women of color because there's not as many opportunities or as many resources. So the money, the proceeds will go towards medical expenses. So I cut my hair in support of the organization. I donated my locks. And to my surprise, I received a lot of criticism. You know, people were like, well, you know, you shouldn't cut your hair. I heard a lot of, like, a woman's hair is her beauty. I heard Crown and Glory, like everything that you can possibly think of. And that, in my head, I was like, this is just hair. So it's not a big deal. I'm cutting my hair will grow back. I can't imagine what it's like to be someone in a situation where my hair fell out involuntarily. So that's how I came up with that idea. And then I, in the process of doing that, or the thought of saying I'll do it, and I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, it's kind of like the same thoughts I had with Feminine Transitions. I'm not sure how I'm going to meet these people. I started bumping into women with alopecia. And so alopecia just means hair loss. And so I felt like that was confirmation. So that one person that I met became instrumental in I Am More Than My Hair, because she's been helping me, like, with the journey, where she's, like, reached out to all organizations and helped me find people. But in the process, I also learned that alopecia, which just means hair loss, is something that you can also lose your hair. So when you lose your hair from cancer or thyroid problems or medications, it's alopecia. So it's an awareness and educational project just to let people know that when you see a woman and she's bald, that doesn't mean that she has cancer, that, you know, that there may be different reasons. But beyond that, she's a person, and you should just look at her beyond her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Advancing story. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes.
So this seems like a growing movement.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I just saw the Dove beauty commercial.
Oh, right, yes.
I see women, you know, what they think about beauty. Mm-hmm. I see on social media constant contrast between this is Photoshop, this is Pose.
Right.
I just saw a TED Talk about a woman encouraging people to embrace their natural hair, especially women of color.
Oh.
So how do you see yourself in this movement? Do you try to collaborate with other people doing similar things?
Initially, when I first started, honestly, I felt like I was a trendsetter. And I'm not saying that I'm going to tap tap myself on the shoulder. But when I initially started, I was kind of the only one that was doing this. And then when I started, the first thing I did see was Dove. After it was about a year or so, because I started promoting feminine transitions on social media before I'd even, which was the wrong thing to do, I'll just say that. Like before, when you come out with an idea, please don't post it, don't say anything, just wait until you're either you're at the end of your project or in the middle when you have everything established, because I started noticing, someone took my idea and did the exact same thing, but made the book was a different, it had transitions, but it was a different first topic. But I initially had contacted Dove, actually, and I made contacts with them, with a few of the reps within there, because they have called the Dove Self-Esteem Project. But they did not want to do a collaboration because they were saying that they already had the group of people that were established within the organization or the network. But that was my first time trying to do a collaboration. Other than I've had people contact me and say, well, we would like to do something, you know, with you, but it's more so come and do a speaking engagement, or can you come do a workshop and talk to the group of kids or anything like that. But that's pretty, it's been, I feel like I was like on that beginning wave of it then, yeah.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
So how do you see this evolving outside of, from you talking about like natural beauty, mm-hmm. and owning your, you know, natural skin tone, all of it.
Right.
How do you see this growing or evolving, the evolution of it? Like, will it move to natural hair, different forms of beauty within the cultural aesthetic? Because it's mainly, it's a diverse crowd.
Right.
Like, how do you see it evolving basically outside of?
I'm going to do a second edition of Feminine Transitions. I wouldn't give too much detail because, you know, it's like now in the idea basis.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It'll be something bigger than that, because what I want to do is I want to go dive deeper into those who are the influencers. So those who people really look up to, and connect with those people to see, like, are you going to be brave enough to show who you are beyond what people see you in and try to live up to in magazines and you know, billboards and things like that. So that's where it's evolving to. It's also evolving. I feel like it's also evolved with I Am More Than My Hair, because I feel like it's the same. It's like it's a different topic, but kind of like the same thing. So it's like peeling layers off. Because the women in I Am More Than My Hair, literally, I was the first person they took their wig off for. This one is like I'm the first person that they've peeled their makeup off for, and even weaves and things like that. But then also with the speaking engagements, I feel like that has allowed me a bigger platform to talk, really, and to open up conversation, to talk to hear in the conversation that I never realized that the whole beauty thing was so serious, because I grew up in my family where my father was always adamant about, you know, you're beautiful as you are, you don't wear any makeup, and he used to always get on my mom about that. He's like, oh, don't kiss me with your lipstick on, you know, so take the foundation off. He couldn't stand any of that. So I didn't realize how serious the whole beauty thing was until I actually started with this project. But I see it evolving into many different levels. Then, yeah. Hopefully, answer the question.
No, you definitely okay. did. That's why okay. I asked, because of the beauty industry and YouTube being a huge thing. And,
right.
This is like on the extreme opposite, which is awesome.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.